Hello, everybody, and welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk. I'm Mike.
And this is Mike's co-host, Jeff.
And tonight we have a good show lined up for you. We've got Bob Davis coming on. He is the founder of PlanetParanormal.com and Planet Paranormal Investigations. From talking to him, it sounds like their big thing as investigators is the Queen Mary out in California, and he's got some real interesting stories to tell about the Queen Mary. So if you've ever been there, this will be a good show to listen to.
California is like not as historic as the rest of the the country, especially where you really hear about the ghost stories, like New England and the South and places like that. But when you look at like the top 10 list of the top 10 most haunted places in the country, California has a good percentage of those, like Alcatraz and the Queen Mary and the Winchester Mansion are those places that have that huge standing as one of the most haunted places out there. And I don't know what that says about California, that it's not quite as historic a place when we're talking about a part of America. It's like I think it's 1850 or something that it became a part of America after the gold rush, or actual state after the gold rush. But I don't know, there's something doesn't seem to quite seem right to me about that. Why do you suppose there's so many haunted locations like that? Like Southern California, I'd completely understand, because that's like from the 1500s when the Spanish settled Mexico. They were down there in Southern California, but up near San Francisco and San Jose were the where Winchester Mansion and Alcatraz are. It just doesn't seem quite as historic.
I guess it's just a more brutal history in a shorter time span than what we have over here, where we've been around longer. I don't know. I never really thought about that, but you're right.
Where is the Queen Mary?
You're asking me?
Well, I thought you'd know.
Oh, I don't know.
You seem to have a good idea about these kinds of things. What's the history behind it? Like, why was there a tragedy on it, or was it just a cruise ship, essentially? Are you looking it up right now?
I am. I never got into it. I never really looked much into the Queen Mary at all. I mean, I saw the task that was put in.
It just seems so far away from us.
Yes, that's why. Because I know I'll probably never go there.
And California just seems like a foreign country to us Midwesterners and people from the East.
I'm sure our guest would know the whole history better than I could read you off the internet. So we might just want to wait and ask him.
Okay.
As he seemed to know a lot about it.
I will be sure to, and I have some EVPs from his website that I hope to play. But of course I'll ask his permission first before we play it out on the air. But there were some pretty good ones that kind of send those chills down your spine when you're listening to them.
He sent me a couple as well from the Queen Mary, so I haven't actually had a chance to listen to them. So on air will be the first time I'll hear them as well.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
It is.
Like the first time, like the audience will hear it the first time that we hear it.
And it sounds like they're like really good and really cool EVPs from the way he prefaced them when he sent them. So I'm looking forward to hearing them.
So I know we've been talking about it for a little while, but this last Sunday we had a presentation that we did at a church, Joy Community Church. Was that what it was?
Yes.
And it was actually really, really great. Like the people there, the people who came were all really nice. They had all kinds of really interesting questions, and it was a great setup. They had like this mezzanine that they had all this sound equipment and video equipment and everything that they were recording us, and they insisted that I use this microphone, and when I give my presentations it's usually to smaller groups, so I'm not real up with the whole microphone thing. So I started talking and I asked if everyone could hear me fine, and everybody said, yeah, we can hear you fine. So I put down the microphone, but apparently they needed me to use the microphone so they could record the sound when they did the recording. So I feel pretty bad about that. But outside in their parking lot, I don't know if anyone here has ever been a fan of Seinfeld, but there's this episode of Seinfeld where there's these carpet cleaners. I think they might even, well, I'm not even sure what the carpet cleaners were called, but the thing was that whenever these carpet cleaners would go to somebody's house to clean their carpets, they would, the person whose carpet they were cleaning would become part of a cult right afterwards. So George from Seinfeld was convinced that these carpet cleaners were people who were recruiting people to be in their cult, so he hired them to come to his place to clean his carpets to see how they would try to recruit him into the cult, and they didn't try, so he was upset. But where I'm going with this story is when we pulled into the parking lot of this church, they had these two vans that said carpet cleaning on them, just sitting in the parking lot of the church, which, before we went in and met everybody and found how nice everyone was, that kind of made me a little nervous.
Yes, I remember you asking about the carpet cleaners before we went in. And I'm not a big fan of Seinfeld, so I didn't know what you were talking about.
Well, I tried to explain it there.
And you did. I knew what you were talking about once you explained it. And now I even know better.
You got a lot of background noise all of a sudden. Is everything okay there? Are the ghosts acting up?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's happening.
So we have, what was it, Bob from Planet Paranormal?
Yes, okay. Bob Davis.
But that should be pretty exciting, and we got some EVPs that we can play, which... I always like playing EVPs. They're always very creepy, and they add a little bit of I guess, creepiness to the show. Not to overuse the word creepy. But that should be exciting. And who do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Next week we're going to be talking to Christopher Moon and... Dina and Paulette about what they do in Ghost Box research, and I guess a little bit about their magazine. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking to Brian, the guy who runs the Ohio or the Dayton Paranormal Convention. Brian Klein from, I think it's Southern Ohio Paranormal.
Well, that should all be exciting.
Yes, looking forward to it.
So, are we ready to go to commercial and get a hold of the guest and get this show on the road, as they say?
I think we are set to go.
Okay. You want to lead us out?
Sure. You have been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Be right back.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike Crystal, join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Terra Trinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Para Trinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Do you need a website? Get WebGuy. With over 10 years' experience with website design, WebGuy knows how to make what you need. With expertise in all major programming techniques, WebGuy can get your site up and running in no time. Need custom graphics? No problem. Chat rooms, bulletin boards, interactive calendars, streaming audio and video? WebGuy does it all. For your website design needs, email webguy@gemwebdesigns.com. Once again, that is webguy@gemwebdesigns.com.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International and now the new Shantown Show on Para X Vision. And you're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk. Enjoy the show, guys.
And we're back. Are we back?
We are back. Now you're all muffled.
I'm having a tough time here.
You are having a tough time. Am I going to have to carry the show all by myself?
I do apologize. I'm trying to fix it. I got a whole new setup, so it's all new. I'm trying to work it.
Now we got background sound like crazy. Okay, now it's better. Why don't I just try to call the guest, and then we will try to hopefully fix your problems, if that's possible.
What happened?
Your background music is going crazy, or your background noise is going crazy again. Are you still there?
Here.
Okay. Okay, let's try to contact the guest then. And hopefully our technical difficulties won't extend to that. Okay, I am now in the process of trying to connect with him. Are you there, Bob?
Can you still hear me?
Was that you, Mike?
Is that you, Mike?
If you can hear me, yes.
I can hear myself. Can. I'm echoing.
Echoing.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, is this Bob?
Yeah, wow, you got a lot of echo, huh?
Mike, can you change what you just did?
Hold on.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I think we're having technical difficulties. The ghosts do not want you on our show.
That doesn't surprise me.
So how are you today? Welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I'm going to probably be carrying the show for a little bit while Mike is fixing his technical difficulties.
All right.
But it is a pleasure to have you on the show. And we were talking earlier a little bit about California and how a lot of those places where people say they're the most haunted places in the country, a lot of them happen to be right there in California. And we were talking about how that kind of strikes me as kind of strange, because it seems that the East Coast seems to have a lot more, at least American history over there. Is there, do you have any explanation for that?
I don't really. Yeah. You're right. We do have a lot of, a lot of the, Native American history in the Old West and stuff like that. In fact, we, do a lot of investigations over in Arizona. I originally come from Arizona, and so we like to get over there quite a bit. So we do Tombstone and Jerome, Arizona, and a lot of those other old gold mining towns. And it's kind of interwoven with the Native Americans and stuff. And you do get a lot of activity, I think, especially around those old graveyards and sacred areas that are Native American.
Is this what year are we talking with these gold huntings or these gold digging sites and we're
talking early to late 1800s, right in there for the most part, even into the 1900s, I guess. But the real boom time was around the 1860s, 1880s.
So have you found in your ghost adventures, has the more historic a place is, the more likelihood that there'll be ghosts there, or what causes ghosts in your mind?
You know, I don't know if it's more historic, but it seems to be that those more historic places had a lot of, because of the turbulence of the early years of our country, or of any country, I guess, that you maybe had a lot of violence and untimely death and stuff like that, maybe a little bit more than we have right now, say in the metropolitan cities and stuff. And so, maybe that has a lot to do with it. I'm not real sure, but it definitely seems that the historical places have a lot going on. I wish I had the answers to all that, but it just seems that they are more active though.
Well, yeah, I'm not suggesting that we have the answers, but maybe if we get enough people together and who actually go out and they actually do this kind of thing on a daily, on a weekly basis, if we can gather all that evidence together and compare the more historic places against the more modern places, maybe there would be some sort of correlation there, is I guess what I was thinking, and how it kind of confused me at one level that California would have so many ghosts and so many of these big and famous ghosts, famous haunted locations. But I was looking through your website and through your dossier of places that you've been, and it seems like a list of places that potential ghost hunters really need to go, like Alcatraz and the Queen Mary. And have you been to the Winchester Mansion?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. We haven't actually investigated there, but we have been there. I can't really say, it's hard to get a feel for it, because it's creepy all by itself. Mm-hmm. So to get a real, honest evaluation of what's going on there is hard to say. I would tend to think there's got to be some kind of activity probably, but I would love to get in there, but it's a little bit hard to do for investigations. I guess you maybe have to, have somebody on the inside. They're pretty worried, I think, about, the obvious things. They got a lot of, relics and stuff in there that they don't want to get, damaged and stuff. So,
right.
A lot of these places want you to have like a pretty big insurance policy to cover such things too. So that may keep out some of the teams that don't have like the $1 million overwrite policy to, that they need to get into a lot of these places. So, but yeah, I agree with you on trying to share our information with all the other teams and see, if we can pull together and get answers. I think we're making progress, and we just have to really work together.
So when do you think this progress began? We were kind of talking about this last week on the show, how what if we had legitimate scientists like physicists and geologists who came in and actually devoted several years of their life and millions of dollars into investigating this? When I agree with you, I think that in my mind, when these television shows, when everything started becoming famous and more people got into it, I think my co-host would disagree if if we could get him back onto the show. But you're here.
He came back to defend himself.
but I feel that kind of helped the field, because there's just so many more people here. And yeah, maybe there's crazy people in the field, or people who don't do justice to the field. But at the same time, they're helping to collect that evidence and pull everything together. Is that what you were saying when you said that you think that that's where it's moving with the advent of this television and pop culture phenomenon, or was it before that, or a separate thing altogether?
I kind of think it's a little bit of both. I tend to agree with both of you in a way, and I think I maybe know where you're coming from. I think that with the advent of the TV shows and, you know, especially Ghost Hunters, it did get a lot of recognition to it and brought a lot more interest into the field. But again, at the same time, you've got a certain amount of really serious researchers, you know, who know what they're doing and are doing good work. But then you've got a lot of new people out there that maybe haven't had the time in the field and haven't really learned what they're doing. And, you know, and then you've got the other people who are in it for like a social thing, you know. So I don't know that the social aspect really helps anything. I'm not sure if it hurts, but... you know, but yeah, I think that, I think the really serious researchers, the really serious teams need to pull their data and try to keep doing a little bit more scientific approach like we have been. And so that all kind of came in, I think, at the advent of, you know, the Ghost Hunters or a few years maybe before. Before that, we were all kind of in the closet, you know, so... Mm-hmm. I've been doing this since I was a teenager, and, you know, and you just didn't talk about it up until, you know, the late 90s or something like that.
And I kind of...
My whole thing about what TV and media has done to the paranormal field is just the amount of bad people or bad investigators or non-respectful investigators it's brought into the field. Where before that, it was, like, the best, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the ones that had been around... Well, now have been around the longest, and all them are considered like the fathers of the paranormal, and that's all you had before. And then you got television shows, and now you've got all the garbage out there that just gives the good ones.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And also, it makes it hard for the because there is such an overflow of investigators, you know, that it makes it hard for the people that are serious to, you know, maintain a foothold on the locations that they've been working and stuff. We see a lot of that in Tombstone. It's like you can't go anywhere in Tombstone without them saying, you know, that, you know, I can't even say it. I won't even say it, but I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth, but it creates problems, definitely. I agree with both of you guys. It's kind of 50-50.
So you mentioned Tombstone, and before, usually the trivia question of the day is mentioned before we get the guest on, but I knew that that you worked out west, so the trivia question of the day is, what happened on this day in history? And the only clue is, has something to do with the west. But you mentioned how you had gotten started in this when you were just a teenager. That sounds like a story.
It actually has to do with Alcatraz, as a matter of fact. And I went there just as a tourist with my family. And a lot of people have heard the story, but maybe folks out there on the East Coast haven't. They have when they're doing the tour, the walkthrough tour, they have the park ranger takes you through and tells you about everything. And when we got down to D block section, which is the maximum security section, I don't remember exactly how many cells, but there's about 5, 6, 7 maximum security cells. And they're obviously safe for, you know, the worst of the worst offenders, to give them a little extra punishment if they got out of line. And so... we stopped at the first cell on the block, and it's cell 14D. And at this time, I had no interest in ghosts or anything like that. Didn't even know the place was supposed to be haunted, and I didn't even believe in ghosts at the time. In fact, I was just the opposite. I was one of those people that thought people that believed in ghosts were stupid. So I ate my words on that. But the the park ranger asked if anybody would be willing to go in the maximum security cell and see what it was like for a prisoner to be in there. And I was, you know, 13 at the time, and I was like, I'll be happy to go in there, you know. And so you go in, it's just a big steel box inside of a concrete, you know, frame, so that you couldn't dig your way out or whatever. I don't know what you're supposed to dig your way out with anyway, because when they put you in there, they would take your, you know, they would strip you naked, and then they'd throw you in this big metal box, and then they shut an inner door that just has a little slot that they can slide a food tray through, and then they shut the outer door. And when they shut those two doors, it's pitch black in there. And the only thing in that room was a hole in the floor for, you know, your bathroom, and that was it. No bed, no mattress, no anything, not even a blanket. And they'd leave these guys in there sometimes for weeks on end. And so I went in there. The park ranger shut the inner door. He shut the outer door, and I was standing in the back corner, and felt fine. And he asked me, you know, how I was doing. I was like, I'm fine. And just about as soon as I said I'm fine, just a couple seconds later, I feel this really hard grab on my shoulder. And at the same time, in my ear, the same ear that my shoulder was on, I hear this voice go, "You're mine," like that. And have you guys ever had an audible situation where a ghost will talk right in your ear and you can feel the hair vibrate in your ears?
I have never experienced that myself. It's just the EVPs where nothing was heard at the same time.
Oh, you got to get one of those sometime, because that'll change your life. So that's what it was. It was just like if a human had leaned over and said it in my ear, and you could actually feel like the breath. And so that shook me up terribly. I started screaming and banging on the door, and you know, they opened it up, and I came out, and they were like, "What happened? What happened?" And I was just like, didn't want to talk to anybody, but it definitely changed my life after that. So from that time on, I, you know, have been trying to figure out what the heck that was. So
how long before you got involved in something organized, like a group?
That would have been, you know, up into the, you know, late 90s or 2000, somewhere in there, that we actually organized and started working as a, you know, as a group. But that being said, you know, I did a lot of research over the years. I've met a lot of the so-called big names in the field and stuff like that. And so I had a lot of, you know, really good people helping me, you know, on my way up through the ranks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very fortunate to have known those people.
So when did Planet Paranormal come into being, and what exactly is Planet Paranormal?
Planet Paranormal Radio was the first company, and actually it was started by another lady, and I believe she started it in 2004, if I'm not mistaken, and she built it up to a pretty good-sized radio site that would host paranormal podcasts and radio shows like this one and like your other show, and she, I believe, worked in TV. The TV industry, and so she got to a point where she needed to move on and had other things that were pressing that she needed to take care of, and Planet Paranormal is getting kind of hard for her to continue running. And so a friend of mine, Bill Murphy, who's another team member and another fantastic researcher, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bill or not, but he said she was looking to sell the company, you know, actually he said she was just going to let the company fall by the wayside and, you know, die, I guess. And I felt like that would have been a shame for Planet Paranormal to just, you know, be let go like that. And so I told Bill to contact her and see if she'd be interested in selling it. And luckily she was. So we, after several negotiations, we finally managed to hammer something out, and my friend and team member Ash Blackwell, we went in and bought the company, and then we also have our historian, team historian Brian Kloon, who's also one of the co-owners now. So Planet Paranormal is now owned by three of the team members.
Okay. When what's the name of the group? You said that you're part of a group now. What's the name of the group that you're with?
Yeah, the team I'm with now is Planet Paranormal Investigations, and we started that up after the last team we were with kind of fell by the wayside. And we just thought it was kind of a natural progression because we had the Planet Paranormal name and people were real familiar with it. So we thought it was kind of a natural flow of things to just use that. And it's worked out real well, I think.
And from what I was reading, this has members from all over California and those states over there. How exactly does that work? Like, that sounded very
interesting. Yeah, it does. Yeah, and at one time we had up to, you know, about 13 or 14 members, and as what we would do is, you know, we would, if we were working a certain area, then we would obviously bring those team members in and to the investigations that we'd be doing, like, say, in Northern California. I'm down south. Most of us are down south now, but we do still have a team member up in Northern California. But it kind of works out good because then if we have like home cases or, you know, or any kind of residential type or business case, you know, then where somebody needs help, we have somebody that can get to them no matter where in California or even Arizona that they're located. So it kind of works out good.
Okay. Where is the Queen Mary? We were talking about this earlier. We knew it was somewhere in California, but I don't know exactly where it's docked now.
Yeah, it's docked in Long Beach, California, which is just maybe an hour away from Los Angeles. And she's been out there since the early 1960s when she was retired.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the Queen Mary. We actually didn't know that either. We just know that it's a haunted boat, and it's one of the more famous haunted boats. But thinking about it, I don't know anything about the history.
Yeah, she's got a real substantial amount of history. Real interesting ship. She was originally laid in Clydebank, Scotland, and she was designed to kind of do the transatlantic route between England and New York. And so she originally would, you know, make that run between England and New York. And she was originally made her maiden voyage in 1936. And shortly after her maiden voyage, you know, we had the World War II breakout. And so is what ended up happening is the government was concerned about U-boats bombing these ships, you know, torpedoing these cruise liners. So they actually grounded them for a while until they could decide what to do, and they finally decided that it would be advantageous to the war effort to use them as troop transports. So they put the Queen Mary back in service after they put all her, you know, her artworks and stuff like that. They removed them from the ship, and they kind of re-outfitted the ship, painted her completely gray. She actually, ironically, got the nickname the Gray Ghost because of that. And at that time, she was the fastest ship on the ocean, so she was very well suited to outrunning these U-boats and stuff. And they would transport troops back and forth for the war effort. They'd take troops over to Europe, and then they would, and as well as Australia and all around the world, actually. And they'd also transport war prisoners back, you know, on the ship as well. So you have our troops, you know, that history. Then you have the war prisoners and that part of the history of the ship. So you have a lot of activity, a lot of people dying on that ship because of the war effort.
How exactly did they die on the ship? If it was like it wasn't attacked or anything like that,
Yeah, one of the things is that the ship was extremely hot. It was also used as a hospital ship of sorts as well. So you had people that had war injuries that were dying on the ship from those injuries. You had people dying from heat, dysentery, you know, you name it. And then they also transport the war prisoners down in the cargo hold, which is in the front of the ship. And it's absolutely a dark and stagnant place down there. And they would just pack this thing full of prisoners, and then to feed them and water them, they would just lower food and water down in buckets on ropes. And, you know, and it was just, I mean, I can't even imagine how hot and miserable it was. And so you had people dying down there from heat exhaustion and dehydration and, you know, again, dysentery, you name it. So that's that part of the history. And then after the war effort, she was re-outfitted back to her luxury self and continued her route between England and New York. And she did that up until, you know, the late 1950s.
So when I was looking at your website, I saw a lot of EVPs and a lot of talk about Jackie, a little girl named Jackie. What's the story behind Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie's an interesting, and a very well-recognized little ghost. She's a little girl. I believe she's probably somewhere between 6 and, you know, 5 and 7 maybe years old. I don't know exactly. That's the funny thing about Jackie is that there's no written record of her that we have. That being said, part of the reason that we may not be able to locate it is because of the history of the ship. We had, on the American side, they would have records kept, you know, for the American records. And then on the European side, the Europeans would continue to maintain those records. So the European side of the records had been lost to time, and for what reason, I don't know. So we really only have the history of the ship from the American standpoint, and passenger lists and stuff like that for the most part. And she doesn't seem to be registered anywhere on any of the manifests that we can find for the American passengers. The way she came to be recognized or even acknowledged that she was there is a psychic, the late Peter James, who was made famous on the Old Sightings episodes. He did a lot of work on the Queen Mary in the 1990s, early 1990s. And he was the first person to come out and say that there was this little girl in the pool area, and her name was Jackie, and she would talk audibly out loud. And they actually had video clips of Peter talking to this little girl, and you could hear her audibly speaking back to him, and it was very dramatic.
I actually have one of those clips from your website. Am I allowed to play that?
That's actually, I believe, our clip that is later on. That's not Peter James. That's actually me.
Oh, I thought it said something, Peter from 1991. And
oh, the audio clip is... Oh, okay, yeah. Please, yeah, you go ahead and play that.
Okay, I will play that. So everyone knows what we're talking about, and this is on the Queen Mary with the psychic that he was just talking about.
Where I believe she had her tragic accident.
Oh, great,
when
it's not coming through.
When we did go into the first class of the school with my videographer and their appointed security guard, Jackie began to speak audibly, verbally, where you could hear him, and I could hear him, and the whole world was able to hear her speak verbally, audibly. Yes, here. Come hold my hand now, Jackie. Let me help you. Okay, talk to me again. I don't want to go away unless you can help me here with love. I'm here to help you. Yes, you can find your mommy too. Your mommy loves you too like we do. We're here with love and light for you. Talk to me. I'm not going to hurt you. I promise you that. Show me where you are, Jackie. She's caught. Did you hear that?
Where's she caught?
Where are you caught? I'll stop. Are we on? You don't have to stay here. You don't have to stay here.
Well, that's the gist of it, but there's clearly a girl's voice in the background of that clip.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, when Brian Clune, the team's historian, my friend, and I went in there and we captured this audio that was very similar to this a little over a year ago, I guess, maybe. Yeah, I think it was about a year ago. And a lot of the same things that were being said, you know, to him were being said to us in a similar way, although not worded exactly. But one of the things that, you know, she mentioned was she was looking for her mommy and daddy. And another one was that she seemed to be stuck somewhere or caught. And that seems to be a reoccurrent theme with her. Now, what she means by caught, I don't know. We've surmised that it seems like Jackie doesn't talk like this all the time. There's only certain times that she talks really loudly and long periods. I don't know exactly what it is. I assume it may have to do with something to do with the time of her death, that she's more active. Although she is, to some degree, active all throughout the year. But I kind of lost my train of thought there, but sorry about that. But yeah, so there seems to be a kind of a reoccurrent theme with her that, you know, and oh, I remember. So as what it is other researchers, not just myself, but other researchers that have caught EVPs with her or have got little snippets of her talking seem to think that there's other spirits trying to keep her from talking, possibly. And so it may be that she's not necessarily caught, but somebody's holding her back or something like that. There have been EVPs to that effect where you can hear spirits saying, you know, Jackie, no, or Jackie, please. I actually have one where it sounds like a lady saying, Jackie, please. So, you know, that's one possibility of what she means by caught. But she can be heard singing. You know, as well. So it's not like she's just always walking around looking for her mommy and daddy and she's just miserable. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of times when you go to enter the pool before you actually, you know, walk right in, you can actually hear her singing before you'll open the doors and walk in. So that's very common.
So has anyone ever tried to debunk this? Because that sounded pretty clear that was a little girl's voice when... at least in that clip, it sounded just like a little pool in a closed-in, or a little girl in a closed-in swimming pool area.
Yeah, I mean, to the best of anybody's ability, they've tried to debunk it. You know, I mean, you know, without just climbing in every little nook and cranny of the ship. I mean, and that's the thing that I find interesting is that, and I had mentioned to Mike earlier, is that is what we would like to do is try to. You know, take the audio that we've captured and have it voice printed matched with the old Peter James audio. And if that those two could be matched up, then that would be a pretty good case that it's not, you know, a hoax or something like that. I still don't think that it's very possible it's a hoax because over the years we've recorded this, what, you know, clearly sounds like the same little girl's voice over and over again, anytime, day or night. You know, I mean, it can be in the afternoon, it can be at 3 or 4 in the morning, times when there just clearly should not be a little girl there. And it's many different researchers have captured her voice.
I think I have actually a clip that you caught of Jackie here. It's a shorter clip, just a little brief clip. But I do like hearing the EVPs because they do send the chills down my spine. So if it's okay, I'd like to play this one as well.
Sure. This is actually the two I sent you are actually they were part of a long clip that was actually 17 minutes long. And so I just cut out like a couple of the highlights that are, you know, a little bit shorter for you guys. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Mike, can you play this? Hello?
I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try to play him. I don't know what's going to happen. So, which one am I playing? The Brian's or the Grumpy?
Yeah. No, the one that should say there should be Brian 1 and Brian 2. I guess go ahead and start with Brian 1.
Okay. This one's Brian 1. I think I need to change.
Just to let you know, my voice is a little loud on the clip, so you guys might want to watch volume.
Are you okay? Yes.
Did you want to hear it again, or?
Was that the full clip? It seemed like it clipped off. Maybe if it did, just go to the next one, and that's actually even a better clip.
Okay, this is Brian's number two. So.
Right.
Why not, baby? That's the other one.
I'm just saying that's really, really clear that there's clearly something there.
Yeah, you should have been there. Brian, it was funny because Brian is the skeptic of our team, and so he was, when he came on originally with us, he was the guy who really didn't believe in ghosts at all. And after going to the Queen Mary quite a bit with us and having a few really big experiences right up to the granddaddy of all experiences, I mean, he was just blown away, as was I. I mean, you can't ever get used to that.
So these were things that you could hear audibly at the time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just like you hear it. Yeah, and it was echoing all through the pool area. And my hair was just standing up on end, and, you know, I had goosebumps everywhere. You know, it was a crazy thing. And as it continued, this continued for 17 minutes, me and Brian going back and forth asking questions and her giving answers. And you hear about other researchers and psychics especially talking about when they have encounters like that, that they get their energy drained, they get tired and stuff. And that was definitely what happened to me that night. By the time I was done interacting with her, I was just exhausted. And I finally terminated the exchange because I was too tired to continue. So she probably would have continued on, but I was just couldn't keep going. So, yeah, and it actually took me a couple of weeks to recover from that. So,
can you play that one more time, Mike? I'd like to hear that one more time.
Sure.
And I do think that it's really, really funny that you had to ask which one to play first between Brian 1 and Brian 2.
I've got two other ones here.
But go ahead.
All right. I'll start it from the beginning since...
Why not, baby? That's the other one. You can call me your uncle. What's wrong, honey? Don't be mad.
I like that. I think that's really that's really neat. That some of the I'm surprised that something like that doesn't get more press, because this is really the first that I've heard of Jackie, and this sound and these recordings are it sounds to me very clearly that there's something else there.
It is, you know, it's funny, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's been a real uphill battle trying to get this out there. I finally, just now, Brian and I managed to get on an episode of My Ghost Story that's coming out with this. It should be a pretty detailed account of all this. So that should be coming out, I believe, in July or August. And as I get the date, I'll definitely post it and let everybody know. But it took me, actually it's been, you know, I take that back, it has been 2 years since I recorded that, Brian and I recorded that, and it's been a real struggle. And I've even gone to the Queen Mary, I've played the audio for all the management and stuff, and told them, you know, that this kind of thing can only be good for the ship by bringing them a lot of business, which it has. It's increased the amount of investigators that are on the ship, you know, staying and stuff by a lot, because it used to be when we'd go there, we'd see an investigator once in a while. Now you go there, you see everybody you know in Southern California almost every day. So, you know, it's definitely helped, you know, get people to the ship and eat in their restaurants and drink in the bars and, you know, and shop in the gift shops and stay in the rooms. And so,
so what exactly, you know, does it take to investigate the Queen Mary? Like, do you just pay for a room and then you get to spend the night investigating?
Yeah, I wish that was the case. it's not like that. Right now, the only way that you can really investigate the ship is to get a room, or you don't even necessarily have to have a room, I guess, but you can go and book one of the ghost tours that they have on the ship, and they're good tours. The guy that runs those, Pat Wheelock, is a great guy. He's got a good team, and you know, he's very experienced, and so that would definitely be one way you could go. Do research, but you're going to be on there with about 20 other people of varying degrees of you know, belief in the paranormal and stuff, and so it makes it a little bit harder to do serious research. And then the other way would be when there's a ghost conference, like the Queen Con that's coming up at the end of this month. You can go and you know, get some investigating time with people like Mark and Debbie Constantino and Patrick Burns and stuff like that. And again, you know, it's a little limited to how much serious research you can get, but you can still catch some stuff there, and you definitely can get a good feel for the ship and get to those areas that normally you wouldn't be able to get to.
So when you're doing the investigations out there, are the rooms, hotel rooms, still open to the public and stuff? Are there still other people around?
Yeah, there's still people around, because you can't shut down the entire ship. But like on the weeknights and stuff like that, the ship is pretty slow. So, and it depends on what time of year and stuff. And there's sometimes when the ship is nearly dead, so to speak. So those are definitely the times that you'd like to get in there. We were really fortunate. Planet Paranormal, when we bought the company, it had its radio studio already on the ship, and so we had at that time they had a management on there that was, you know, very nice and obliging to the paranormal. And we were able to, you know, pretty much go and investigate on a regular basis. So for a couple of years, we were able to get in and out of there usually a couple of times a week. And we did a lot of research in there. And that may have something to do with why Jackie's pretty comfortable with us, because I think we've got probably some of the, you know, longest amount of investigating time on the ship in recent years, other than the investigating time that Peter James had on the ship. And he had complete free run of the ship for a couple of years. So he's been places that even we haven't been. But that being said, management changed on the Queen Mary, and they didn't feel it was beneficial to continue having our radio studio on there. And they've been a lot harder on the paranormal lately, so... it's a lot harder to get in there, and I think it's kind of going backwards for what the ship could do. I think that they need to embrace the paranormal a lot more heavily, and it would only help the ship. So it's been very difficult.
Were you there when the Ghost Hunters did their episode there?
I was about to ask that exact question.
You know, I wasn't there when they did it per se, but I mean, we were on the ship. Yeah, definitely. But we weren't a part of any of that. We didn't have any knowledge to what was going on there, and I'm sure my impression is about the same as theirs was and what yours is. I think there, you know, was definitely something going on at that time, but who knows?
That was the one where they got the sheets all messing themselves up on the camera, and there was someone who hoaxed them. Am I thinking of the right episode?
You're thinking of the right episode, and I don't know exactly what happened, you know, but it definitely looks like something was going on. I think even Jay and Grant would agree with that. So, yeah. But that being said, I don't think that should. I think that really hurt a lot of the reputation of the Queen Mary, that happening, and that may be you know, a lot of why they're gun shy now about letting paranormal people come on the ship. Maybe they're afraid that something like that could happen again.
And that's tragic that one person who goes out there and does something stupid like that can ruin something this big for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, because I've been trying to get a foothold on that ship since about the mid to late 80s. I actually laid a lot of the carpet on the ship back in the 80s. And that was my first real long experience with being in those areas and having some stuff happen that we just weren't sure what was going on. And it made me really think, you know, I want to get on here and investigate this thing. And I've been basically really trying to get a foothold ever since. And then just about as soon as I got a foothold and my team got a foothold, it was kind of taken away. And it's a sad thing because I think we really could have did a lot of good for the ship. I think we still can, and I continue to try, but I lose a lot of sleep over it because I see what a special situation it is, and Peter James was loved by, you know, everybody that knew him, and I'd like to continue the work that he started. I think it's like he had part of a puzzle, and maybe we have the other part of the puzzle, and I'd like to, you know, be able to fit those two together, and maybe we could, you know, it would go a long way to proving that there is something here, you know, in the afterlife.
Right, and I think we're and to just carry that further, we're further along today in our research as a whole as we were yesterday and the day before, and we wouldn't be where we are to get today without those people from before. And then if something gets taken away, if something's not as accessible as it was before, it just seems like it's putting the field a little bit backwards.
It is, yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's, you know, now how do we combat that? That's, you know, how do we come back from it? I don't know. That's why I'm losing some sleep, and I imagine that's why a lot of the other serious researchers are losing sleep. You know, the people that really care, you know, I think how can it not bother them? You know, that we can't get into these places, or that we do get set back. So. But you have to keep moving forward and try to just recover from it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're starting to run a little low on time here, and a lot of people were asking the website where they could listen to those EVPs. Do you care
sure.
to throw your websites out there?
Yeah, you can hear the full audio clips of the Jackie Exchange and a lot of our other EVPs and audibles. As well as see the video clip we have in the Queen Mary Pool area at parainvestigations.com, and that's our investigation site. And we also have a really interesting photograph up there that was taken of me sitting on the edge of the pool, and Brian Kloon, who was with me during the Jackie audio, took a picture, and it actually looks like Peter James behind me, which is kind of strange. So. You can see that as well. And then if you want to go hear great podcasts, you can go to planetparanormal.com and you can hear great shows there. You can hear Nightwatch Radio, Ghostman Demon Hunter, the great and wonderful Paratrinity Radio, and Ghostly Talk, and among others. We've got about 30-some-odd shows there. So, yeah, stop by and give a listen.
All right, and I do have another audio clip that I wanted to play, and this one was from Alcatraz, and I don't remember what it said. It's somebody asking, is there a doctor in the room?
Oh, that's a great one.
And then there's a very, very clear voice that answers it, and it almost sounds to me like there's someone else in the room. Were you there at the time that this clip was made?
Yeah, absolutely. That was, yeah, I was there. Brian Kloon, Ash Blackwell, and Laura Blackwell, who's our other, you know, founders of the Planet Paranormal team, were there, and that we were the only people there, and that was up in the medical ward. Yeah, so that was a very clear one. And we actually captured a similar one in the same place a year later. So.
But I'm gonna play this. This is one of the clearest EVPs that I have ever heard. I hope it comes through okay over the radio. But I will go ahead and play that now.
If there is a doctor in here, could you tell us your name?
I'm going to play that one more time. It's right there at the end. If you can't hear it on here, definitely go to his website and listen to it with the volume cranked up. It's pretty amazing.
If there's a doctor in here, could you tell us your name?
But yeah,
That's kind of funny. He kind of is what he says, and I'm sure you know it when you hear it on the site. He says, "I'm Jacob," and but on this site, when you guys played it, it sounds like he's got a hiccup. He says, "I'm Jacob," like that. So kind of funny, but yeah, it doesn't normally sound like that.
Go listen to that on the site. It's very clear. It's very strange.
We get a lot of good clear ones.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time here. We like to try to wrap up by 11. Is there anything else that you want to plug, want to throw out there? Anything?
Not much. Just come by and check us out. And also, Brian Kloon and myself are writing a book that should be coming out in the next few months. So keep a lookout for that. It's going to be Planet Paranormal's Guide to the Other Side series. So hopefully it'll be, we intend to make it an entire series of books that'll be covering anything. The first book is going to be a travel log of the Southwest, places that we've been, evidence that we've captured, and you'll actually be able to go there and onto the website. And if you read in the book about some of the audio that we've caught, you'll actually be able to go to our website and listen to the audio as you read along. So it's kind of a new concept that we're working on, and just keep your eyes out for the new book series.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on, and it's very interesting. Now I know something about the Queen Mary, and I can act like I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Queen Mary. And
come out and see her.
I would actually love to.
And I apologize for my lack of participation today, but I'm having all sorts of difficulties. But every time I come in, there sound like a hurricane or something. So,
no problem, Mike.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us tonight, though. And I've learned a lot from what I could hear when I wasn't in a hurricane.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Okay. Let us go to commercial. And I'll give one last clue to today's trivia question before we go to commercial, because I like doing that. It is a famous person's birthday today. So think about that, and we will go to commercial, and I'll give you the answer when we get back. I should have had a commercial picked out before I did that. I lost you, Mike. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen the right answer yet in the chat room, so I don't think anyone said it, but okay. I can take it out to commercial if you'd like.
Go for it.
All right, you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
History states that the paranormal activity has been around for many years. Recently, since the new millennium, it seems it has been on the rise. We at Tri-State Paranormal are here to help people with their fears and their concerns. We don't charge for our services. If you feel like you have some strange activity going on in your home, please give us a call or go to our website at www.tspnorthernkentucky.com. We're here to help you.
I'm sorry, I'm out of commercials. Wait, I can do one more. Nah, it's too late. That moment has passed.
You're out of commercials?
Well, we played the Paranormal Outreach, we played Paratrinity, we played Tri-State Paranormal, and there was another one that I played, and in my list here, I just didn't see any other ones that I was sure still applied. Oh, I played the Guy's commercial too.
Did you play Capers?
I did not. That's the one I saw at the last second.
And then there's Residual Hauntings. They have a website that still applies. Yeah, there aren't many left. I agree. They need to make some more.
Give me some good commercials.
I'll give you the rest that I have.
Have Pepsi pay us to put a commercial in here.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Just write them a letter. Say, we only charge $5. We'll put a Pepsi commercial on there.
Yeah, that would work. I'm sure that they would just love to have their commercial on here.
But that was interesting. We learned a lot about the Queen Mary.
Uh-huh. And I love the planetparanormal.com website. I don't know why, but I just think it's a great website.
Seriously, everybody, go to that website and listen to that that My Name is Jacob EVP. I don't know why it didn't come through as clearly over the radio, but it is very, very clear, and it sounds like just somebody talking in the room. It's one of the clearest EVPs that I've ever heard, if not the clearest EVP that I've ever heard.
Yes, I couldn't hear it at all when you played it while we were on air, but before we went on air, I could hear it clear as ever.
Why is that? Should I try to play it again? I'm going to try to play it one more time.
Do you have it turned up? All your settings turned up all the way for it to be heard?
Yeah. I'm going to try one more time.
Okay.
Since your background hurricane's not there anymore.
If there's a doctor in here, could you tell us your name?
There, it was pretty clear.
I heard that better. Maybe it was having three people on the line messed it up.
I think it was your hurricane.
That's not my fault.
So, who do we have next week again?
You threw me off guard there. Christopher Moon. He is a ghost box researcher. Like, one of the big-time ones.
All right.
And he does Haunted Times magazine. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's one of the bigger paranormal magazines out there.
Well, I'll get to learn all about what a ghost box is exactly. Don't tell me. Save it for next week.
You know what a ghost box is. You've used one.
Is it like the Frank's box?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
That is just fancier than what you've seen, or it's fancier than what Caper uses. I don't know if that makes it any better. It just looks like it costs more money.
And the answer to today's trivia question: on this day in history, in 1866, out west, in the Utah territory, actually. Anybody guess it yet?
I haven't seen it, but I wasn't necessarily paying attention when I was trying to fix my tornado.
Well, anyway, Butch Cassidy was born, so. Anyone who still cares, today's Butch Cassidy's birthday. So, happy birthday, Butch Cassidy.
Yes, happy birthday.
And then in a couple days is the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. Apparently the trip got postponed, though, so they're not going to actually do the paranormal investigation on the anniversary of the sinking. But it's still something that strikes me as really exciting, so I hope they still get to go out and do that, because I'm really excited to hear what happens during that trip.
Does your calendar say that's what happened on that day in history?
I can't flip ahead. That'd be cheating.
Well, we'll have to find out.
Okay, I'll flip ahead. It was on the morning of the 16th, right?
Sure. I don't know. I'll just agree with you. Make it look like I know.
It was either the 15th or the 16th. No, it does not.
Okay.
But I'm sure everyone wanted to listen to me flip through my calendar and check and see if my calendar actually said that or not. I'm sorry for wasting everyone's 5 seconds. I truly am. If I could give it back, I would give it back. But instead, I took another 5 seconds. We should really end this show.
Alrighty, we can do that. I can get my audio fixed.
All right.
And my problems.
let's go ahead and do that then.
All right. We can do that. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
And you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. I didn't have the outro ready. I'm sorry.
That was so good, too. I had the enthusiasm and everything.
I'll do it again. I can do it again with the same amount of enthusiasm. And I'm not sure. I'm still not sure I have the right one. That's because I wasn't in the right folder. Here we go.
Make a difference. All right. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Good night.
Been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Tune in next week for the best radio show that you have ever heard.